The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You're listening to Rami Makhlouf.
So I just Googled you because I have never heard you on The Score. You aren't the guy of your same name who is a Syrian businessman and cousin of the vicious, evil dictator of Syria, are you? Either way, you're doing great.
He must have been some dictator.
He was a very bad dictator.
Yes, very bad.
Even if I'm that guy, I'm doing a great job. Well, I'll tell you, thank you. And no, I'm not that guy.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me, you're not that guy.
Although I have had to convince the government of that on one or two occasions to get my name off of watch lists.
The FBI and CIA both have you on a shoot to kill watch list. You have to tell me where you are.
Every time I'm going through an airport, man, they're definitely going to pull me aside because of this, dude. But nope, hasn't happened at an airport yet. It's caused me a few problems, never in an airport.
On Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I'm not him, and I appreciate the kind words, sir. Thank you.
That open gets me every time. I am Rami Makhlouf. I am with you until about 7:15, taking you right up to Bulls basketball right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score as they take on the Mavericks, and a jam-packed hour and 15 minutes that Tyler Ferengul on the other side of the glass has slated up for me and you this evening, including a visit in about 20 minutes from Zach Pearson, who covers the Bears for BearReport.com. Also, we'll sprinkle in a little Cubs talk in the hour and 15 minutes that I have with you this evening, and always willing to squeeze in your thoughts at 312-644-6767. If you want to give me a call or shoot me a text, you can always tweet the show as well at 670 The Score, and at Rami is tweeting. That's R-A-M-I-E is tweeting, but obviously a lot of Bears talk tonight. A lot of Bears talk this evening, and again, want your thoughts at 312-644-6767. And a question that occurred to me, and actually it was touched on about an hour ago when I was driving in and listening to the station and listening to Lawrence and Spiegs, and they were talking with Grody and his report from Bears practice today. And the thought that I was already coming in with was, is Caleb Williams developing, or is this season doing him more harm than good? 312-644-6767. And as I was driving in, I heard Grody say to the guys, you know, there's like this push and pull for this team this season between developing a quarterback and winning games. And if you've heard me at all on the station in the last 5 or 6 months or so, however long it's been since Caleb Williams was drafted and this roster sort of started shaping up, and I talked about those two forces that the Bears are struggling with, of developing a quarterback and winning, and I said both. I want both. I heard Cole Kmet say today, Bears fans don't need to be patient. They don't have to be patient. They can be as impatient and upset as they want. And I came into this season with very little patience for everybody not named Caleb or Rome within the Bears organization. I wanted both. I wanted them to win while they developed a franchise quarterback. And for those of you who are saying that's greedy, Rami, teams don't do that, Rami, I will point you to the 2023 Green Bay Packers, who won 10 games on their way, or nine games, excuse me, and made the playoffs on and with a first-year starting quarterback who got better as the season went along. And if that was happening, I would be very happy. I would be very happy. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Packers last year, they weren't in a very different position record-wise from where the Bears are this year. But what you saw from that Packers team last year was a quarterback and an offense that got better week in, week out, week in, week out, until things really clicked in week 10, 11 for Jordan Love and that offense, and they started operating on a high level. Now, we're not at week 10, week 11 yet. We're entering week 10 this week, so it could happen. How many of you within the sound of my voice right now think this Bears defense or this Bears offense is really going to get clicking and get going here in the next 2 weeks with New England next week? And that's a defense that I guess you could put up numbers against if you're an NFL offense. But then you have six games against the division, as well as San Francisco and Seattle down the stretch. Who within the sound of my voice, 312-644-6767, thinks that things are really going to start clicking for this offense here in the next couple of weeks? Who's feeling those vibes right now? But if I had to choose between developing or winning, I would say developing the quarterback. That's more important to me than developing the quarterback. If you're going to make me choose, I don't think I should have to choose, but if you're going to make me choose, I would say developing the quarterback would be the preferred outcome, because that's going to have a greater impact on the future of the Chicago Bears as a franchise. If this was a team sitting at 4-4, because when this season started, I said, give me nine wins, and I'll probably be happy. Probably being the qualifier there. Because if you gave me nine wins that looked like the 2018 Bears, which is to say a dominant defense and an offense that just sputtered along and did just enough to win barely enough games to get into the playoffs, I'd be like, that's not satisfactory to me. I'm not pleased as a Bears fan. And where we sit right now, if we were at 4-4, And I had seen legitimate improvement from Caleb Williams in this offense week in and week out, but it was like a meddling defense that was holding you back, I'd be probably okay with that. But that's not the case. And not only are we not getting better, we're entering week 10 and talking about things. Now, I don't expect everything to be figured out, but we're entering week 10 and talking about things that should have been figured out already, like the chemistry between your starting quarterback and your number one wide receiver. Here's Caleb Williams talking about that. Do we have that, Tyler? Caleb Williams talking about his chemistry with DJ Moore.
Yeah, obviously it's not in a place from the past games, a place where we would like it, both of us. It's frustrating because you got a guy so special and not being able to connect and hit on certain passes is frustrating for myself, and I know it's frustrating for him, because as a wide receiver especially, you only get but so many chances, so many times the ball, comes your way in a game, and things like that. So, I wouldn't put it past them that it's frustrating, but we got to figure it out. That's the whole point about football, is figuring out, why things are certain ways, and finding ways to, overcome or, get better at them.
And here was DJ Moore talking about the same thing, his chemistry and relationship with Caleb Williams.
Is there any reason why your connection with Justin was like immediate? As soon as you walk on the field and hear it's a little bit arduous. Is that just the way it is, or what's the reason for that?
I couldn't tell you. Just reps. You can say Justin had more reps than when I got here than me and Caleb have. Him being a rookie quarterback, and Justin wasn't a rookie quarterback last year.
So there's the two guys talking about the chemistry between the quarterback and the number one wide receiver. And man, again, not everything is going to be figured out about this offense by week 10 in a rookie quarterback's season in the first year for an offensive coordinator trying to put things together. But you can't get that figured out in 10 weeks and training camp and entire offseason. I also heard DJ Moore again when I was driving in listening to Grody with Spiegs and Holmes talking about finding a middle ground. Were we 4 weeks ago saying we got to do things the Caleb way? Am I crazy? Am I imagining things that 4 weeks ago DJ Moore said we got to do things the Caleb way? But okay, if you're not going to do things the Caleb way or do things the DJ way, and you're trying to find a middle ground, well, Shane Waldron, step in and find that middle ground. I understand, like, waiting a couple weeks and going, we'll let these guys figure it out. At some point, somebody's got to step in and say what the middle ground is instead of everybody trying to figure this thing out on the fly. How is this happening in week 10? And I came into the season, like, ready to compare Caleb Williams to, you know, Jaden Daniels, maybe J.J. McCarthy, maybe who's the guy we're going to see this weekend? I almost said Mac Jones for New England. Drake May for New England. These are all guys that were taken, like, in the top 10. But I'm sitting here comparing Caleb Williams to Bo Nix. And honestly, the comparisons aren't great. He has a better completion percentage. He has one less touchdown. He has a better passer rating and a better QBR. And Bo Nix is responsible for 33 plays of 20-plus yards, second in the NFL, only to Lamar Jackson. Caleb Williams has 20 such plays. How am I sitting here comparing the number one pick in the draft, a generational talent, to Bo Nix, whose best quarterback, best wide receiver is Cortland Sutton? Last week, Caleb Williams went against a defense that gave up a 101.4 passer rating to opposing quarterbacks. He posted a 68.9. Against a defense allowing quarterbacks to complete almost 72% of their passes, he completed less than 54. Against a defense giving up 8 yards per attempt, Williams averaged 5.3. And this is 6 weeks now, 6 weeks in a row, where we came into games going, man, this defense that they're going against is bottom 5 in this, bottom 10 in that. Going all the way back to Indianapolis, Los Angeles, Carolina, Jacksonville, Washington, Arizona. Every one of those weeks, we came in going, this is a chance to get this thing going, to get hot. And they've done it in two of those, against the two worst of those defenses in Carolina and Jacksonville. They were okay against Los Angeles. They were bad against Indy. They were bad against Washington. They were bad against Arizona. You've faced 6 bad defenses and put together 2 good games. This ain't it, man. This ain't it. And look, he made a bunch of bad decisions and was inaccurate on Sunday, and now has more off-target throws than any quarterback in the NFL. Had 9 of them on Sunday. And I'm not going to sit here and blame him. First of all, rookie quarterbacks make mistakes. Like I said, I have patience for everybody I don't have patience for anybody not named Caleb or Rome in this Bears organization. I have patience for Caleb Williams. And it's hard to be accurate when you can't trust your pocket because your offensive line sucks. The Cardinals got pressures from 16 different players on Sunday, according to Next Gen Stats. That's the most individual players to get a pressure in a football game since 2018. They came in getting to quarterbacks about a quarter of the time. They got to Caleb Williams almost half the time. They had 6 sacks. In their previous 5 games, they got 6 on Sunday. Pair that offensive line with what we've seen in terms of this team's coaching, and I really got to ask the question, is Caleb Williams developing, or is this season doing him more harm than good? And if it's doing him more harm than good, I don't even know what you do about that. I don't, because you can't bench him, because that's gonna look like an indictment on him. If you just say, all right, man, sit this one out, like they should have done in the game against Arizona. Like, this ain't going nowhere. We don't want to hurt you. We don't want to set you back. Just sit the rest of the season out. But nobody's going to look at it like that. In retrospect, getting Ryan Tannehill and putting him behind this offensive line, letting him be the sacrificial lamb for a Shane Waldron offense and a Matt Eberflus coach team, and letting Caleb Williams watch for a year sounds really, really good right now. Because I'm afraid they're setting this kid back, and I'm afraid that they're eventually going to do what they've done to the last 2 quarterbacks that they drafted, and that is break him. I'm not saying Mitch Trubisky was ever going to be Patrick Mahomes.
I'm not saying Justin Fields was ever going to be CJ Stroud, but those guys will never reach their full potential because of what the Bears put them through. And I'm afraid they're doing the same thing to Caleb Williams. And that's what this season is about to me more than anything. Again, I wanted developing and winning. Right now, we're getting neither. We're not getting enough of either one of those things. And I'm afraid they're hurting our quarterback. 312-644-6767. Is he developing or are they doing more harm than good at this point? Take some calls and texts before we get to our guest in the next segment. Let's go to Marvin. He's on the south side. You're on the score. What's up, Marvin?
Man, I totally agree with everything that you're saying. We are definitely doing him more harm than good. The fact that we don't have an offensive line, and if from the beginning of the season, the only time that we even have any kind of resemblance of an offense is if the defensive line or the defense is just horrible. But if they have one or two decent rushers, and in the case of Sunday, man, you're talking about 16 people, 16 different persons, yeah, which touched your quarterback. And again, there's no system. The system is terrible. Cole Kmet is not, you got three tight ends. You got three tight ends on your team and you're not targeting any of them. You got DJ, you got Keenan, you got Rome. You have a lot of talent. And it's just for some reason, man, and I believe this and I'm going to let you go. Listen, if we had drafted Patrick Mahomes, he would not have been Patrick Mahomes.
Agreed.
If we had drafted Jaden Daniels, he wouldn't be Jaden Daniels.
Agreed.
So it's not, you know, those guys go to systems. They go to where they have a pocket. You just talked about it. Caleb, man, he can't relax in the pocket. He doesn't have, but by the time, especially if in the shotgun, by the time the ball get there, there's a defender there. And mm-hmm. So they're arriving at the same time. So, man, we're doing them more harm. We need to reset this thing. I don't know what the answer is. I know Flus needs to go, and I know that Shane needs to go. But we have to definitely address that offensive line, or we're going to get the young man killed, man. And that's all I got. Thank you, man. I love your show. Have a great evening.
Marvin, great call, man. I appreciate it. I've said that before about Patrick Mahomes. And I know it might seem crazy to think that, oh, the Bears would ruin Patrick Mahomes. They would have 100% ruined Patrick Mahomes. As a football fan, I'm glad they didn't draft him. Because I know that the Bears side of me would have never got that guy. You give Patrick Mahomes to John Fox? You know what that would have done? And I'm terrified that this is going to happen this year with Flus. Patrick Mahomes with John Fox might have been good enough to extend John Fox's career with the Bears. And that's it. And I'm afraid that this roster and Caleb Williams might be just good enough to put together enough wins that the Bears go, give Flus another chance. I'm not rooting against him, but I don't think Flus is the guy. And I'm afraid that they're going to win just enough games that the Bears are dumb enough that they're going to give this guy another year. And I saw a report today from Brad Biggs that it turns out he has another year on his contract. I was talking earlier about teams getting better and developing a quarterback and winning in that rookie quarterback's year from the 229, the 2023 Washington Commanders. Yeah, there's one that's happening right now. He added Jordan Love sucks now. I would disagree. Maybe Jordan Love, not the god that a lot of people thought he was coming into the season, but still pretty damn good when you look at some of his numbers. But yeah, Caleb, I mean, man, great quarterbacks don't just fall from trees great. They need the right environment to grow in. And yeah, Patrick Mahomes isn't Patrick Mahomes. Jaden Daniels isn't Jaden Daniels if they end up in this Bears organization that breaks quarterbacks like it's a hobby. Let's go to Huntley and get to Dominic. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Dom?
Hey, Ryan. So hey. I was just thinking about everything you were saying, and Marvin kind of hit it too. I think a part of this is being left out is letting David Montgomery sail across Lake Michigan, switch time zones, and go to Detroit. I think a big part of Caleb Williams, his downfalls right now, is not having someone really to lean on out of the backfield, and that could be chalked up to the offensive line too, like Marv was saying. I think Caleb Williams is a winner. I think he's tough. He's mentally extremely tough. That was one thing I was questioning coming into the league, is how much does he really care about winning? How much does he really care about, you know, succeeding? compared to just being someone that always is going to have the attention on him. And I think that he's proven that he is passionate about the city of Chicago and winning. However, I don't think the city of Chicago is as passionate in terms of a top level viewpoint. They're going to try to keep developing him. They're going to try to keep doing the same things they're doing. And I think that's the wrong way to go about it. I think there should have been a lot more movement this past week, acquiring pieces, especially on the front line, to establish maybe a little bit more of a run game in the second half of the season, where the pressure isn't so much on, all right, Caleb, we need you to make these throws. We need you to score points. Like you were saying with Tom Brady, like the guys were saying with Tom Brady, he wasn't a gunslinger in his first mm-hmm. couple years, nor was Ben Roethlisberger, nor was, plenty of these guys. They develop by having someone to lean on. And so I don't think developing him by throwing him in there and expecting him to make these plays is the right idea. I think the idea is to have pieces around him that he can lean on a little bit more.
Hey, Dominic, I got to get to a break, man, but I do appreciate the call. And you make some great points. David Montgomery, yeah, I mean, that's one guy who could be your running back. How about Saquon Barkley? How about the guy who's jumping over defenders backwards and was there for the taking this year, where you had cap space from here to the moon? How about that? And I could go a few more between Saquon Barkley and DeAndre Swift in terms of guys that were available last offseason that the Bears whiffed on. And when he talks about making a move at the deadline, I saw a lot of people saying, well, why would you do that when you kind of have a lame duck quarterback and you might have a new coach next year? This guy might not fit into his system. How about an offensive lineman just so your quarterback survives? Just so the hope of your franchise survives this season. He's on pace to be sacked the sixth most times in the history of an NFL season as a rookie. That's how you break guys. That's how you break guys' spirits. That's how you have guys not trusting pockets, not trusting their feet, making bad throws. They start seeing ghosts. That's how you break guys. And that's what I'm scared of. That's what I'm worried about as a Bears fan. Keep those texts coming. I do have to stop the calls for now because we have a guest coming up. Zach Pearson of the Bear Report. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, next. It's the Score Evening Show. And back right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Score.
When you have success, guys are on the same page, you know, more often, you know, and when you don't, then obviously they're not on the same page as much as you'd like them to be. So, that we're always working to get that. And it could be a scramble drill, you know, when you're working guys open. I know that Caleb did a heck of a job finding Rome a couple times on that. They were in sync. He was friendly to the quarterback during those situations, last week. So we just need more of that.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me, and that's the station with you right up until Bulls and Mavs right here on 670 The Score. Jed Hoyer has spoken. We'll hear a little bit from him and talk about this Cubs offseason coming up in just a little bit. But keep the Bears talk going as joining me now on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. He covers the Bears for BearReport.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Zach_Pearson. It is Zach Pearson. Zach, how are you this evening?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Is the chemistry between the quarterback and the number one wide receiver? I know it's a rookie quarterback. I know it's the first year in Shane Waldron's system, but is that one of the things we should still be ironing out 10 weeks into the season, Zach?
No. Are we? Yes. Caleb Williams talked about it today. DJ Moore talked about it a little bit today. In watching that game against the Cardinals, it's clear, like, there's just a disconnect between Caleb Williams and DJ Moore right now. For whatever reason, they're not on the same page. We've kind of seen it for most of the season, but you look at some of those throws against the Cardinals, and it's clear, like, there's something there that they're not getting right, whether it's the timing, knowing the route, things like that, or just kind of inaccuracy issues. So it's not the first time it's come up, which is obviously not a good sign. But, no, I don't think they should be having these type of problems. Maybe problem here and there, but with all the off-season work they did and, now we're in week 10, it shouldn't be this big of a deal at this moment.
Zach, in my eyes, and you'd know better than I would, you're a PFWA attributed football writer. You cover this team. You're around this team. You know the game. I remember a few weeks ago we were hearing DJ Moore say that, we got to do things to Caleb Boy and saying Caleb's getting bossy, and I kind of like that. And now he's talking about, well, we need to find a compromise. And I don't mind if they need to find a compromise. I'm not saying DJ Moore needs to fall in line and do everything that Caleb Williams wants him to do. He's been in this league a long time. He sees things. He knows things. I think it's Shane Waldron that has to step in and find that compromise if that's what's going to happen. If they're not going to do things the DJ way and they're not going to do things the Caleb way and they're going to find something in the middle, Shane Waldron is the guy who has to step in and say, okay, here's the compromise. Here's what you're going to do and eliminate any gray area. Is that oversimplifying what an offensive coordinator can do in a situation like this?
No, I mean, I agree. And I think that's kind of part of the disconnect too, is looking at this. There was a play, I want to say it was the second half on Sunday. It was a big third down or a fourth down play. And you saw, I think it was DJ Moore and Cole Kmet pretty much in the same spot. That's happened a couple times this season. Yep. And that really should not happen. So when I look at this Bears offense and I see, okay, here's Shane Waldron. He had 2 to 3 pretty good games. He struggled a lot more as well. You look at the concepts, the routes. It's just a little confusing to me at times. I do think there is a problem with that, and I do think they need to clear that up. Waldron probably need to step in and kind of be, like you said, right there and kind of be that compromise where it's, okay, we do it a little bit of Caleb's way, we do it a little bit of DJ's way. As long as they're on the same page, that's fine, because this shouldn't be an issue. And I think the Bears are really struggling in a couple key areas, one of them being the play calling right now. I don't think there's much confidence, especially from the fan base of Shane Waldron. I don't know how much confidence there is with the players. And I hear, they're having a meeting this week. They had a meeting the other week. They had another meeting. I mean, that's just, to me, in my years covering the Bears and the NFL, I haven't heard of that many meetings and what's going on. I do like that the players are speaking up. I do like that, Matty Eberflus and the coaches listen and are able to vote, say what they need to say too. I think that's totally fine. But yeah, it just kind of feels like it's just the operation of the offense is not very good right now.
Yeah, they lead the league in meetings. I just saw that this week, Zach. They lead the league in meetings. Talking with Zach Pearson of the BearReport.com. Follow him on Twitter at Zach_Pearson. Question I was asking to the listeners before I brought you on, Zach, and I'll just ask you. This season, for me, I want both. I want developing a quarterback and winning games, and I think that is possible. I'm watching it happen right now in Washington. I watched it happen with the first-year starter last year with Jordan Love. But if I have to pick one, I think developing the quarterback is the more important thing here.
and I'm not seeing it. Do you see him developing, or do you think this season is doing him more harm than good?
If we talked 3-ish weeks ago, right after that London game, I'd say I've seen some development. I think there's been a couple steps back, honestly. And I think what you said is fair. You should expect to win. You should expect to see development. And I think this offseason, you know, Ryan Poles and everyone in this building told us, you know, they're sick of losing. They feel like they have a defense ready to win now. They have the pieces to win now in offense to help Caleb Williams. And it just kind of hasn't been the case. And I think you point to, okay, play calling. We just talked about that. Offensive line has been a big issue for this team, whether it's, you know, how it performs or injuries, both. You know, now at this point, both. They're decimated with injuries, and then they're just not performing. So it is hindering Caleb Williams' development a little bit. You know, I don't want to put the blame fully on him. There's things he can obviously do better. There's things that he's good at. I think the arm talent is still there. I think, you know, those sideline routes at times are there. The deep throws obviously needs a lot of improvement. That was kind of one of the things coming out of USC, you know, was he going to be accurate deep? And, you know, does he try to go for the, you know, the home run ball down the field where he could take the check down? We've seen that. He did not really take the check down against Arizona. So at this point, you know, there's obviously games left to improve and just see development. There's games left to win. It's just going to get a little tougher because they have some really good defenses coming up, including 6 divisional games at the 49ers. So yeah, we'll have to see, but you know, I think that's fair that you should see some development at this stage here in week 10.
If this continues, and we saw this, we saw like a microcosm version of this at the end of the game against Arizona, where Matt Eberflus is running him out there for some reason in garbage time and almost got him hurt. If at some point this season it becomes clear to everyone involved that you're doing more harm than good to Caleb Williams' development, what exactly, like, what do you do about that? Because you can't bench him, and because that's going to look like you're benching him, like you're blaming him and saying you're not playing well enough to be the quarterback. But you also, you don't want this guy to regress. You don't want to break this guy in his rookie year as a quarterback. What do they do if at some point the brain trust looks around and goes, this is probably doing more harm than good to what's supposed to be our franchise savior at this point?
Yeah, you know, that's tough because it also depends on, you know, do they win a couple more games here down the stretch, and are they in the playoff race? Is their defense good enough to, you know, win them some games? I would lean to still play him and try to get some development. That's tough, though, because, you know, last week he should not have been in the game. In the final four minutes he was in, he should not have been in the game. And they're very lucky he did not get hurt. And I really wasn't a fan of Matt Eberflus's answers. You know, we're trying to get 2-minute work in and all this stuff. You're down 20 points. You're not going to win. You know, you're doing more harm, like you said. It would be a very interesting thing because, you know, I'm sure Ryan Poles would have his viewpoint on it. Obviously, Matt Eberflus would have his viewpoint on it, especially if, you know, jobs are on the line. You know, that's a whole other thing as well. But if jobs are on the line and Matt Eberflus, you know, can point to Caleb Williams and take the gamble and say, yeah, you know, he's starting to develop and that, you know, I think they would lean towards playing him. But you could also really kind of shoot his confidence. And Caleb's a confident kid. Being around him, he's very, very confident. But if you keep taking hits and, you know, you're inaccurate and the offensive line's breaking down, you're not on the same page as DJ Moore, that's going to get you. You're human at the end of the day. That's going to get to you.
One more for you, talking with Zach Pearson of BearReport.com here. I got the Patriots this weekend. This looks like a very winnable game, another defense that this offense could sort of get the ball started rolling against this Patriots defense before the tough part of the schedule down the second half. But the Bears defense got gashed last week a little bit, and especially in the run game, and things got a little bit tougher today with Andrew Billings going down with a bicep tear or pectoral tear is what they said it was, and he's going to be out an extended period of time. On top of that, Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker, these injuries are piling up for this Bears defense. At what point is this unit like really compromised, because they've carried them to the majority of those 4 wins that they have to this point?
Yeah, the injuries have really hurt them, and I think especially in that run game. Now, they were first in the NFL last year. I think they only allowed like 86 yards per game. They are, you know, not, they're really bad this year. 135 yards on the ground per game. And we saw what Arizona did. You know, Arizona pretty much ran power sets and they pulled the guards and they said, we're going to run it right down your throats and you can't stop us. And I think they kind of set the blueprint on how to beat this Bears defense. The secondary, when healthy, is very, very good. It's hard to throw on them. That's a big bonus. But when you can run on them, eventually your corners have to creep up, your safeties are going to have to creep up. And not having Jaquan Brisker is really showing. I think he is excellent in the run. He's a safety that he can come in and hit you, and he's not scared to. You know, obviously getting Montez Sweat back will help. I think getting Kyle Gordon back would help too, with the speed at nickel, maybe to come in and help stop the run. But losing Andrew Billings is tough. He's one of your best interior defensive linemen. You know, Gervon Dexter's been fine, but now, you know, you're looking at guys like Byron Cowher to come in and play a key role. It's not looking good for this running game. TJ Edwards told us today, you know, they got to get back to the basics. It's about execution, knowing your role, knowing your gap, and just kind of just, you know, executing when you need to against the run. And we'll see, because, you know, the Patriots, they're 2-7. It's a game the Bears should win, but we've seen Drake May, you know, play well, and they have a solid running game that can beat you. So I think that's actually going to be the key. Can they stop this run game and kind of get to Drake May?
Find his work at bearreport.com, on Twitter at @Zach_Pearson. My guest for the last few minutes on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois, Zach Pearson. Zach, appreciate the time and the insight, my man. Have a great night.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
You as well. This Sunday, join the Score in Circus Sports Illinois at Jared Payton's flagship on the Fox in St. Charles. Mully, Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley will host our pregame show there from 9 to noon, then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on New England. That's this Sunday at the flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, GM meetings happening in the world of baseball, and the Cubs are suddenly a small market team. We'll talk about that coming up right after this.
I think everyone is sort of talking about it and wondering about the extent to which it could have an impact. I don't think we know yet. These markets sort of play out over, sadly, 3 or 4 months now and not, you know, not a month. And so I think we'll have a better feel, if we're answering that question sitting on a bench in Mesa, I think we'll have a better feel for what happened. But it's certainly on people's mind. People are looking at it, and I think we'll find out.
We're back live with more Rami McLaugh on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
With you right up until Bulls basketball as they take on the Mavs. 7:15 pregame right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We'll look at the Bears offseason in retrospect coming up at the top of the hour, but it is the Cubs offseason right now. Winter underway in baseball, at least. I know it's still fall, but it is winter in baseball. Already moves. Kyle Hendricks is a Ranger, apparently. That happened real fast, and the GM meetings happening right now. You heard Jed Hoyer there talking about the market and how he expects it to move. And I love the baseball offseason. It's one of the more, now it's taken longer to move in recent years than it used to, but it is one of the more active markets in terms of trades, free agency, guys on the move. And I always love that stuff about sports. You hate it when it's your guys leaving, but it's one of the fun aspects about sports to me. So I went over to The Athletic, checked out what Sadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney were saying about my favorite baseball team. And I got to them talking about what it might look like this offseason. And it said there's no track record or indication that Hoyer's group and the Ricketts family will go to the top of the market for Corbin Burnes, a Scott Boras client who can command the long-term mega deal that typically involves an aggressive owner. Basically saying, and actually the headline right before what I just read said, Corbin Burnes looks out of reach. And I was talking with Bruce Levine a few weeks ago on this very show, and I asked him about Juan Soto. And I don't remember his exact wording, but paraphrasing, he basically said Juan Soto was out of reach. And am I crazy, or should top tier free agents not be out of reach for a top three market baseball team? Am I crazy? And I was like, why are these top tier free agents out of reach for the Chicago Cubs? They play in the third largest market in the country, and these top tier free agents are out of reach. And I've been somebody who in the past, like last year with Shohei Ohtani, you know, I sit back and I go, hey, you're not going to win every bidding war with a New York or an LA. They got more money than you. Not a lot of teams have more money than you, but they got more money than you when you're talking about the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers. So I, you know, tough pill to swallow, but I'll swallow it. I'm not going to come down to, I don't call the Ricketts cheap every chance I get at every turn. I don't call them cheap. But it's starting to feel a little cheap when every free agent that hits the market, I talk to people or read people that obviously know the inner workings of this organization, and they're telling me that these guys are out of reach. Why? Why? So then I scroll down a little further on The Athletic. I find another article from Sadhav Sharma and Patrick Mooney doing a great job covering the Cubs. And they're talking about this overhaul of the Cubs system, moving away from actual scouts and more into data and analytics and everything else. And they seem to hint at the notion that the Cubs are trying to replicate the models of the Guardians, the Brewers, and the Tampa Bay Rays. And especially the Guardians, that Jed Hoyer has an affinity for the way that the Guardians do business, and that they're moving away from the way that clubs like the Yankees and the Dodgers do business. Why? Why? What exactly is the thinking in that? Because those three teams, the Guardians, the Brewers, and the Tampa Bay Rays, how many World Series championships do they have in the last 50 years? I know they consistently make the playoffs, but how many World Series championships do those three teams combined have in the last 50 years? Stop Googling. Stop typing. Stop clickety-clacking away on your little keyboard there. I got the answer for you. It's zero. It's zero. They have zero World Series championships in that time. I don't understand, and I don't accept that the Cubs are moving to a small market model, trying to emulate what the Guardians, the Brewers, and the Tampa Bay Rays do. You know why those three teams operate the way that they operate? Because they have to. Because they play in tiny little towns with tiny little TV and radio contracts. And I guess not in the case of the Brewers, but in the case of the Guardians and the Rays, not the greatest attendance for regular season baseball games always. They don't have the resources that the Yankees and the Dodgers have. They have to operate that way. I asked this earlier in the show, and when you keep asking this question, maybe the answer is yes. But am I crazy? Or do I remember a few years ago, one Tom Ricketts sitting up on a dais at Cubs convention talking about the billion-dollar investments around Wrigley Field and in Wrigleyville, all this real estate and the Marquee Sports Network, and how that's going to give them, and a quote, wheelbarrows of money to invest into the roster, to ensure that this thing is long-lasting and sustainable. And Cubs fans are watching good baseball consistently year in and year out, consistently getting in the postseason, consistently in the World Series conversation. Now you're telling me Corbin Burnes and Juan Soto are just out of reach? You're not even going to pick up the phone? They're out of reach? And you're moving to the Guardians, Brewers, and Rays model and method of doing things? I feel like I fell for the old banana in the tailpipe, to quote Axel Foley from Beverly Hills Cop. Like, you were telling me it was going to be one thing, and it is not that thing. Like you pulled the old switcheroo on me of, hey, we're going to be this big market club with our own network and all this real estate we're going to make so much money with that we're going to put back into the team. And now we're the Guardians, Brewers, and Rays, and not the Yankees or Dodgers. Again, they're going to outbid you. They're going to outbid you often. They probably win more bidding wars than they lose. But the Cubs should be in the game when it comes to these top-tier free agents. It wasn't that long ago that you were signing Yu Darvish, that you were signing John Lester. That was before this big boon of money that you were supposed to get from your real estate development and your network. They shouldn't be out of reach. I'm not saying you have to sign them. Pick up the damn phone, man. This is Chicago. This isn't Cleveland, this isn't Milwaukee, and this isn't Tampa. Pick up the phone and ask Scott Boras what's it going to take to get Corbin Burnes and or Juan Soto in a Cubs uniform. Let's talk, and let's talk seriously, because we got wheelbarrows of money. Fell for the old switcheroo. I hate to feel like a jackass who fell for the old switcheroo. Tell you who's not a jackass. Join Coach Dave Wannstedt and Mark Grody live at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan for the Four Winds Football Forecast next Monday. The event is free to the public and starts at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central. Wannstedt will be giving a mid-season review and forecast for the rest of the season. Plus, you can get an autograph and photo with Coach Wannstedt before the Monday night game. That's next Monday, November 11th at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. Hit a quick break, then get back to the Bears. Let's give Ryan Poles an off-season report card in retrospect. We'll do that right after this. It's Rami Makhlouf. It's the Score Evening Show on 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I got you for the next few minutes, taking you right up to Bulls and Mavs right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, your home for Bulls basketball. Been talking a lot about the Bears, obviously. It is November, and it is a team that we had high hopes and expectations for that they are not living up to. So I've been talking a lot of Bears and what's gone on this season, but it occurred to me recently that the offseason is worth revisiting, because I know we were all real excited when the Bears did what they did in the offseason. And actually going and using some resources in terms of a trade to go and get a Keenan Allen, spending a little bit of money to go get a running back in DeAndre Swift, and that you were like trying to win now and trying to put pieces around the number one pick and the rookie quarterback to help him and to really set him up and put him in a good position. And I'll admit, I was happy with those moves too. Are you kidding me? I was like, Keenan Allen, that guy's a Hall of Famer. He's second among active wide receivers in receptions. Yeah, give me Keenan Allen. I'll take that. Yeah, DeAndre Swift was real good in Philadelphia. Give me that. I'll take that. But I think we were just so starved, so desperate from recent events as Chicago Bears fans that we didn't realize that it maybe could have been a lot better at the time. We were just so elated that our team was finally doing what looked like they were doing something right, that we were like, man, can you believe this? We have actual wide receivers playing wide receiver. We're not trying to turn a running back or a kick returner into a wide receiver. We have actual wide receivers playing wide receivers. That's crazy. That's pretty awesome as a Bears fan, given the life that we've lived. Now, again, this is in retrospect, and hindsight is always 20/20. But you didn't need hindsight in terms of the running back position, because you were looking at guys who have done things in this league, like Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs and Joe Mixon, Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, all guys who have done more in their careers at the running back position than DeAndre Swift has, and who are out there on the free agent market. And again, cap space from here to the moon for the Chicago Bears. And by the way, all those guys, now DeAndre Swift has been good, but all those guys have been better and have made a greater impact for their football teams than DeAndre Swift has. Now, this is, I don't know, about 10 days old, so the numbers have probably changed. But there was an article in The Athletic last week talking about maybe a change at the running back position and the running back not being so meaningless anymore, and taking a look at guys that have gone from one team to another and the impact that they've made. Baltimore gets Derrick Henry. They've had over 41 more yards from scrimmage per game from their running back than what they got last year. Minnesota gets Aaron Jones. They have 39 more yards from scrimmage than what they got from the running back position last year. Philadelphia gets Saquon Barkley. He's jumping over people backwards, and they have 34 more yards from scrimmage from the running back position than what they had last year. The Texans get Mixon. They have almost 34 more yards than what they got from scrimmage from the running back last year. The Packers get Josh Jacobs. They have 19 more yards from scrimmage than what they got from the running back position last year. The Bears, for signing DeAndre Swift, have minus 0.4 yards from the running back position than what they got last year. They've gotten worse in terms of production from the running back position this year to last year, and there were better guys out there than DeAndre Swift. Now, when it comes to the wide receiver, I can't say the same necessarily. Now, there were rumors that Brandon Ayuk was on the trade market as he was unhappy with his contract situation in San Francisco. There was some chatter about Cooper Kupp that got louder as the season went on, and then that kind of went away. But guys that have been traded since then, which indicates to me they were kind of available then. You know what I mean? Teams don't just now, I guess a season can go a certain way and teams can kind of change what their goals are necessarily, and that can change the status of a player and his availability. But since Keenan Allen got traded, Davante Adams, Amari Cooper, Mike Williams, Mingo, and Hopkins both got traded at the trade deadline yesterday. Give me any one of those guys over Keenan Allen and his three catches a game. And not to come down too hard on Keenan Allen, just give me any one of those guys over Keenan Allen and his three catches a game. And you might be saying, well, yeah, but those guys weren't traded till midseason. We would just be getting those guys now. And then what? Our offense wouldn't have gotten started yet? Oh, no. Man, that would be a travesty. What would that look like? Check schedule. Oh, that's already happening. So while this thing looked good in the offseason and we were all so thrilled, man, I'm including myself in this. I got caught up in the hype. We were all so thrilled that they actually did something and it looked like they were trying to win. And the reality is Ryan Poles and the Bears could have been doing more and could have been doing better, or could have done better, if they had just kind of held on to their poker chips a little bit when it comes to the Keenan Allen trade and waited for guys like Hopkins and Adams and Cooper and Williams and Mingo to come available. All younger, all with longer contracts, I believe. My thanks to Zach Pearson for joining me. Check out his work at bearreport.com. Thanks to all of you for listening, contributing on the phones, on the text, and the tweets. Appreciate y'all. Thanks to Tyler Farengel on the other side of the glass for his hard work this evening and helping put this thing together. Bulls basketball is coming up next. They take on Luka and the Mavs. That's right here on your home for Bulls basketball, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I've been Rami Makhlouf. I'll be back with you in this time slot on Friday, and I'll talk to you then. Thanks. It's
better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.